Pennies Going in Raw is a production of iHeartRadio. The opinions expressed in the following podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide education and entertainment about the financial industry and the stock market. Enjoy!
On this episode of Pennies Going in Raw, we discuss volume and a tough week.
You find out life's this game of pennies.
Oh, you guys know we only have a 40% runner. Hello? 40% is a f***ing killing.
We've been compliant for too long. It's time we go to war.
I don't have a Roth.
Q knows so much about the market that his brain doesn't have enough room for grammar.
Hey, who told me about IDEX? It's going up a shit ton now.
Rob, 4%, baby.
No way.
4%.
You asked the exact same question with two words different.
It's like, f***, man, I just got dick whipped for like 20%, and now that f***er's up like 50.
I bet Warren Buffett never did that.
I'm just making this voice memo to call out unusual whales to a fight.
The pennies we need are everywhere around us.
Pennies.
Going in raw.
Featuring Dan, Deity of Dips,
and Hugh Honey.
Produced by Vinny
and Christian.
Let's go, baby.
Welcome back to another episode of Pennies Going in Raw. Today is Sunday, November the 21st. And man, it has been financially a devastating week for at least me. You know, even on the Wednesday episode, I remember we recorded on Tuesday and I was like, you know, this RGS, like it had hit 390 back down to like this 350 range. I was like, good entry. It's back at 280. Let me tell you, I didn't fucking hedge myself with much more than $2 off Supercuts coupons. So not the fucking best of weeks. However, life goes on, obviously. How did you handle this week? I mean, it is just like, sell-offs were crazy. The downtrends were insane. It was just like the bleeding just didn't stop. Is remarkable.
Yeah, no. This is one of my worst weeks inside recent memory. I can't wait for the week to end, personally. I mean, even like some of my swings that get good news. I mean, like I'm literally watching it. It's Friday at 10:13, about to watch it go red. It was up 5%. Like I just can't fathom it. But yeah, what are you gonna do, right? You can't.
I'll tell you a couple things I'm thinking about doing. but it is wild to think about. Like, I mean, even on Wednesday, we just talked about knowing when to pull out of a hot market, and I don't want to be. You know, the British are coming. I'm not Paul Revere on a horse, but do we need to be afraid of anything? I mean, for my sanity, at least.
Nah, I mean, we're feeling like this downward pull again, but that's okay. I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you just have to be smart until things get hot again. I don't know when things are going to get hot again, but, you know, you just have to be smart about it. You know, like one of the things I like to do is that go through different swings and ones that, you know, maybe I'm not as high conviction on. I just cut them, you know, I cut back my size a little bit, actually a lot of it. I cut back my size.
Yeah, I mean, I did the same shit. Like, you know, I hate being the person that's, you know, potentially selling bottom. But I mean, just scaling out as it's tanking. Fuck, man. It like. If you notice that obvious downtrend and you don't want to, like, think of it the same way as a stock going up. You know, you're scaling out because if it keeps going up, you want to still have some on the table. And if it does go down, at least you have some profits. It's the same way when the stock's on a downtrend. If you take some off, yeah, it fucking blows because you feel like you're selling the bottom. But next week when it's down another 10%, won't feel so bad.
It's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. So I pretty much sized back, you know, only high conviction swings. 2 weeks ago, you could basically play anything and you could chase anything. Now it's more the other side where it's like, you know, you don't take more things than you take, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I mean, really is just one of the weeks where you just got to be like, hey, man, love what you do. but.
Oh, my God.
No. Yeah, man. Yeah, just one of them. But what do you think? Like, if you were to look back on the week, aside from just sell everything on Monday, is there anything you would tell? I know we just did. What would you tell yourself 5 years ago? What would you tell yourself 5 days ago?
Go all cash and walk away for the week and go buy a Ferrari instead of doing this.
No shit, dude. No shit.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been a no-brainer. I'd be happy in some Ferrari driving around. It's been for Dude,
I just got the new Xbox in. And just because I saw Halo came out, so I was like, fuck it, gotta get it. And, you know, shout out the supply chain, had to buy it for twice retail price on eBay.
Jesus.
It was such a tough week. I was like, yeah, I do want a racing game. I look at Forza, I'm like, it is not a Forza week. That bitch was like $90 for like the,
oh my God.
Yeah, and all the expansions and shit, man. Just not this week, Forza. Maybe next week.
I'll tell you what, I spent $50 on a Madden pack yesterday, and I was like, oh, I was like, add it, you know, like I was proud because yesterday wasn't a six-figure red day, which the previous days all had been, and so I was feeling good about myself, you know, I was feeling like that was a win.
I think it was yesterday and Tuesday, man, were just every brutal. I think this whole week, Monday was my reddest day at that point. Tuesday was
Monday was terrible.
Tuesday was almost twice that bad. Wednesday, it took a step back. It was like, hey, Dan, here's just an average red day. And Thursday was like, bet like Cam Newton and fucking Carolina. I'm back. Dude, it was fucking awful.
It was, I mean, this week was just terrible. Also, can we just talk about it for a second? This week I despise Twitter. Like I didn't go on that often, but I don't know what I truly don't know what's worse, finance bros or traders. They're so fucking emotional. I mean, I go on Twitter and it's all like it's all hate. It's you have one side saying shit like you know, you have one side coming at like day traders and you have the other side coming at people that just come at traders, and it's just so ugly. You have people going at crypto. You have crypto traders going at, you know, equity traders. You have everybody going at the hedge fund. I mean, it was disgusting. This week.
You cannot have a good day when the market is bad or you will get fucking slaughtered on social media. Like, oh, yeah. Hey, you're having a smile on your face. Well, I'll have you know, I just lost my farm, my agricultural home ground. I'm like, damn, dude, but chill
even
out.
Even like I donated to some GoFundMe or something, and the guy wanted, he like basically asked for more. I was,
dude,
like,
hey, man,
what?
I know we just had Kerry Palmer on, and he had his charity, and I tossed them $100 and I might, hey, Kerry, I might need that back.
We'll see how today ends, how this Friday ends.
Yeah, dude, last night I was like, I'm just withdrawing $20K just because I'm like, I don't even know. There was no justification. I was just drunk and like sad. But
the heat's not on inside my apartment. There's just no way. Yeah, I got a hat on. I got a robe.
It's not
on.
A good week, man.
Nobody.
Not a good week.
Oh, it's a terrible week. Terrible.
And
week.
Did this happen due to just bad? It seemed like volume wasn't there, and it just seemed like everything was on a downtrend.
Yeah, well, I mean, it comes back to the saying that we always use: is that like expect the unexpected. Like, you know, we prepare for the hot weeks, because when it's hot, you know, we can make tons of money. But then when it's hot, we prepare for the cold weeks because we know the cold weeks are coming. But yeah, so it comes back to what, as I was saying, it comes back to what we always talk about, is that when it's really cold, we prepare so we can flip that switch on when it's hot. And then on the flip side, when it's hot, even if it's only for 2 weeks, we prepare for the cold. Because, you know, like we've seen, is that,
well, I didn't bring a fucking blanket this time.
Well, it's what we talked about. I mean, it's truly what we talked about. Thank God we have like some kind of risk management, because literally what we talked about 3 weeks ago was that the people that are going to get smoked are the people that are chasing right now and are doing well, because that's going to create a bad habit. And then they're going to chase stuff like this week and they're going to get smoked. I mean, LVGN is like the only runner off the top of my head that I can think of that like truly has runs at the past week. Other than that, like those are the people that get smoked. I don't think it was enough time per se for people to quote unquote create bad habits. But if you got into that cycle where you were chasing, then, you know, you definitely could have potentially got yourself into a bigger rut than Dano and I did. And we got ourselves into a nice rut this week.
Yeah, no, dude, for me, it was just swings that I was up a good bit on. And it's like, it was just like, okay, well, there goes Friday's gains, and Friday was amazing. There goes Thursday's gains, and Thursday was really good. And I was just like, damn, all those good weeks. And I feel like the risk management was there. Yeah, sorry, guys, this episode has just turned into me venting. But no, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you're like, the risk management was there, but it's just like, still green on them, but fuck me. You know, it's like, yeah. And some, you know, thankfully I'm such a scale out guy, or I would have just been demolished. Cause like back to RGS, I've been like, when I said 350 or three, I was re-adding there from some of my scale outs. I was like, this is going to be good. Now I'm like, well, 280 is not looking hot. If this doesn't hold, yeah, I'm super fucked. Super cuts, about to super cut this stock.
That's pretty, I mean, you said it best. I think I gave up like a month's worth of gains this week, just about. Yeah, like a month's worth of gains. And like you said, is that it wasn't necessarily losses, it was just swings that I was up on just got smoked. I mean, literally just got smoked. Yeah. It was like it took two months to get up there, and then this week it was just let me retrace all the way back down.
Yeah, now it's impressive sometimes, but now I mean back to what we were saying about like what caused it. I mean, you talked about there's only one runner. Is there anything else you can kind of look at in the beginning of the week to kind of say like, you know, maybe not?
Yeah, I mean the runner has a lot to do with it. I talk a lot about relative volume because relative volume to me is everything. If there's no high relative volume, then there's no runner, in my opinion. I mean, we talked about LVGN was one of the only things that really ran this week, and that thing traded 100 times its float. I mean, that's ridiculous. So, I don't think that it trades its float every day. So if, let's just say that it traded, 50% of its float every day. And, you know, that means that it traded 200 times its relative volume. And I mean, so that should have been like a pretty good indication that it was going to go. Even if the news was bad, even if the news was good, something trading its float 100 times or 200 times relative volume is going to be something that probably has a pretty big move one way or the other. Volume precedes price action. So, you know, back to what we were saying, it definitely, for me, it's all about relative volume. But in addition to that, I think, looking at, you know, the calendar, FOMC, CPI, things that could move the market in a pretty big direction, you know, inflation updates, stuff like that. That's what's also going to be important. Other than that, though, I think it's pretty much like the small cap runners.
Yeah. However, though, I feel like, you know, I mean, I hate to be the person that's just like too blindly optimistic, but it does feel like a lot of these, now that it's finally Friday, are kind of basing out. I mean, it's not like the bleeding you saw Monday through Thursday, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I think for me, it was just tough because it wasn't losses. It was just the gains that we had on those stocks. I mean, RGS was tough. I had some RGS with you. I mean, that one was tough.
Sorry, bud.
No, it's okay, dude. I didn't even want three Honda Accords.
Hey, I'll keep my ideas to myself, man. Those are very gas efficient cars. You could have given three of our listeners Honda Accords.
Yeah, dude.
If y'all should have told us not to trade this week, and we could have had some really fucking sick giveaways.
I literally was thinking about that on my walk this morning. on my walk this morning, I was like, oh man, like it's so cool, like what Mr.
This
Beast
podcast
does.
Is this podcast is giving away fucking cars.
Yeah. Like that's what I was thinking about. I was like, wow, I wish I could do like what Mr. Beast does. And I was thinking about it and I was like, I just took what I lost this week, started up a YouTube channel and was like, hey, everybody come here. Like here's, you know, six figures or here's almost seven figures. Oh, that hurts to say. Come here. You have a potential win. Like we could probably get like, yeah, 10,000 people to show up, I think. Oh, god damn it. You remember how I was just talking about like 10 minutes ago how I'm literally watching one of my stocks with news go red?
Well, red.
It just went red. Yeah, it just went red.
Nah, so you had a bad day. I listened to that song yesterday or 2 days ago. It was that bad, man. Daniel Powder, shout out. So
I hate the stock market. We should have been crypto traders. What are we doing?
Look, man, the Staples Center was called the Staples Center for 22 years. Okay. It's now the crypto.com center. Okay. Let me do some math for you. If we even half of that, 11 years of the crypto, dude, Bitcoin 500K, easy, right? You buy some Bitcoin?
Yeah. Yeah,
dude, I'll be completely honest, I don't know if Staples Center, if it's like Staples, is that it, like Office Depot, but like
maybe you should go into real estate.
Went up down to the basketball court in my apartment building yesterday, and I know one career path I can't take. My jump shot is bad, bro. Okay, well, since it's one of those weeks where our accounts are basically back to a beginner level, I think we should talk about volume from a beginner standpoint. You know, whether it comes to candlesticks and candle dicking my account down or whatever. Volume. The meat and potatoes of the episode. So, I mean, I guess when you're, you know, you wake up, we always say volume precedes price action. Can you kind of like dip into that? What does that even mean? And also, if anyone's, you know, wondering, come over to the YouTube. Hugh's standing up in gray sweatpants right now. You know what that means.
Dude, I got a whole gray on.
Dude, all gray, everything, bro.
All right. Where were we? I'm exhausted, honestly.
Oh man, I went to bed like 4 hours ago.
I know. I woke up and you were going to fucking bed. I truthfully hate those nights because I hate those nights. Because I don't know what you did to like what do you do for all that time? Like you're gaming, you're out, you're
dude. Like, Zach likes to hang out, man. And I just tag along. And just last night, there no Zach, but still very. Dude, ever since I moved to a city, there's just shit to do every night, and people are like, "Yo, yeah, Dan, do you want to do it?" And what am I gonna say? No.
I mean, I can't, man.
People are like, dude, you know, you're really going, you, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, look, man, I'm up at 9:30 in the morning on a Friday recording a podcast. So.
All right. What were we going to talk about? Volume, baby, dude.
Volume precedes price action. You say it all the time, but if you didn't listen to episode 4, you don't know what that means, man. What's that mean?
Well, let me show you.
Sorry. Oh, your stocks are going down.
Yeah, basically.
You are poor. Did you forget risk management? Maybe you should make the podcast about risk management.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Since you have none, nerd.
Stupid.
I looked up volume on Google and it said a book forming part of a worker series. So.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that one. Hang on. Let me look up volume.
The next one's going to be like how loud something is.
Volume measures the number of shares traded in a stock or contract traded in futures or options. Volume can be an indicator of market strength, as rising markets on increasing volume are typically viewed as strong and healthy. When prices fall on increasing volume, the trend is gathering strength to the downside. That's from Investopia.
Wow, that was
really long-winded to say volume precedes price action. What we're kind of seeing inside the market right now, if you guys pull up SPY and, of course, have a volume bar up with it, is that we're kind of seeing like this slow kind of pull upwards. And it's kind of just that's where the melt-up can be dangerous, especially for shorts, because what ends up happening is that it's on such low volume that, this thing can continue. I mean, SPY hit 472. SPY can definitely hit 500. I mean, it's just like this slow volume melt up. The good part, the great part is that everyone's 401ks do really well. The other part to this is that there usually becomes such a disconnect like we saw inside the past, inside the market. So that's the only thing is that if volume did come in around the end of the year to SPY, and when I say volume, I mean like any kind of significant volume, then we could see kind of like, what was it, last October when the election was, and we kind of saw like that that pullback inside the market. You know, that's something that we could see with SPY because it is such a low volume melt up. So it's great because it's, you know, who doesn't love when their 401k is up? The bad part is that if any volume came in, then we could easily, you know, I think the expression that we used last year was it'd be like a knife cutting through butter. You know, it wouldn't take much, especially being at all time highs. It wouldn't take much to bring SPY down 5, 6, 7%. You know, maybe a slow melt up for 2 months, for a week to bring it down. Kind of like what happened with our swings. You know, our swings had this nice little melt up, and then it literally felt like it took nothing to bring them down. So it's one of those things where if I'm trading small caps, let's take it from a day trader's perspective. If I'm a day trader inside this market right now, I'm going to be super specific. Things only trading 50 times relative volume. Again, I keep coming back to it, but if you take this week, what is this, November 18th or whatever? If you take the week of November 18th, then LVCN was your wand. It traded 100 times the float, and I don't know what the relative volume was, but the relative volume was probably 200 or 300 times the average daily volume. So with that being said, is that was your trade for the week. You could have made your week, you know, $2,000, $3,000 just on that stock. That thing was basically creating support and just trapping shorts. So from the day trader side, be super specific because there's not a ton of opportunities out there. I think we literally talked about it last week that there was like 10, 15 different opportunities that I was seeing on a daily basis. Now we're in the next week.
Indiana Jones fucking in the middle of the forest searching for a needle in a haystack out there.
Exactly.
Bitch.
And there's literally one opportunity that I saw this week. So from the day trader's perspective. But that's the cool thing about the market, right? Like, even though like I have bags underneath my eyes because I'm stressing out about all this shit and, you know, and like I got smoked this week, like that is the really cool thing because 2 weeks ago it was super hot and I mean anything that you touched was going up. Now you come back and anything that you touched was knifing and you felt this downward pull inside small caps. From a large cap perspective, you know, SPY is on this slow volume melt up, but everything else is kind of disconnected. You know, I mean, what was it? Facebook got smoked. You know, that gave an opportunity.
Meta.
I missed Meta. Oh my God. I forgot
Come on,
about
bro.
Meta.
Come on.
I know. When's the ticker change?
I have no idea. Man.
First week of December. No, but there were definitely opportunities out there, but I was so focused inside small caps and I had so much of my book on the street inside small caps that I missed the Facebook, Amazon opportunities. I mean, even SPY, when SPY pulled back last time, I was like joking around with one of my friends and said like, fuck it. Like I'm just going to throw $100,000 in January options, like 520 options. And honestly, like that, that would probably wouldn't have been the worst idea, because now we're seeing 472. And what were we at, like 440 2-3 weeks ago? So it's the really cool thing about the market is that it's ever changing. It's great for us because there's tons of tons of content. And recently I've really felt like my trading has been one step forward, or really two steps forward, two steps back. And I thought that was finally breaking out of that. And then this week happened, and now it's definitely two steps back. So, but again, that's the really cool thing, you know, is that we're not coming to the market and it's like, boom, instantly, no matter what we do during the day, $300. That's the really cool thing. That's the really suck ass thing. Overall, sorry, I got super off topic, but overall, if I was a day trader, be super specific right now until we see two or three big runners. From a swinger's perspective, it has to be high conviction only. So super high conviction, like I talk a lot about the matrix. The matrix is something that I use to determine my confidence level, my sizing, and the overall potential of the stock or the equity, whatever it is. And so right now, so 2 weeks ago, I probably would have taken anything on the scale from 60 and above. Now it's got to be anything above 75, 80. And what I mean by that is that it has to be, the chart has to be set up, the management team has to be good. It has to have a really good catalyst, like a fundamentally changing catalyst. So when I say that, I don't mean like they're starting preclinicals. That's not fundamentally going to do anything for the company. But you know, them announcing a new purchase order for $20 million or $200 million on a market cap of $500 million, that's something that's fundamentally going to impact the company. So it has to be something that is like actually going to, I'm now just repeating myself, but it has to be a good catalyst. So I'm only taking high conviction swings. And on top of that, the thing that kind of got me this week was that we always talk about never add. And because the last 2-3 weeks were so hot.
Yeah. The price action almost gets thrown out the window just because you're like, you know, it gets hard, especially like how we've been talking about like all the IPOs being hot. On them, there's no fucking price action at all because they just came out, you know? It's like you only know what you know. And when you're looking left and there's only a week and a half there, man, it gets tough. But you know, I guess on those, that's where the DD comes in.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the thing is that it has to be super high conviction. And like we just talked about, I got into the one thing that I say that never to do, add. It's like 2 weeks and I go on like rookie mode in Madden, you know,
like, don't build up bad habits. And here we are fucking bye, 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 bye.
Yeah. You know, it's red 2%, buy, red 10%, buy, buy. You know, I'm getting bigger and bigger.
Great entry.
Like, oh my goodness, man. But that's the super cool thing. Like I got asked recently, do I feel like I have anything left to learn inside the market? And
apparently,
well, I laughed and I said, honestly, I don't feel like I know a lot. Because there's always, because obviously, you know, we hear the same things over and over again, but there's always so much to continue to get better at. Like, how many times have we said on this podcast, don't add, wait for confirmation. And then this week I'm down 6 figures because all I did was add.
I'm like, damn, why am I so exposed to the market? And it's like, oh, because I kept fucking adding.
Yeah, it's like, quote, oh, unquote, shit, I got 50,000 extra shares. Yeah, exactly. You know, like my position sizing is triple what it should be. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. So I think that, but it's just like, I'm thinking to myself, like, what a dumbass. Like, what a dumbass. But you know what? I feel like people are going to stop listening because 2 weeks ago, or what was it? 3 weeks ago, I freaked out about a day trade. Now we're talking about how we're creating bad habits. People are going to like,
hey man,
we're just in it for the money.
Hey,
the podcast money.
Let's delete this and we'll scratch it. We'll go back and be like, dude, this week fucking rocked. I'm up, dude. I'm up a million. Actually, like scratch 50. That, a billion.
Yeah.
Actually, tell iHeart I don't need any more money. before. Like,
yeah, we're giving them money.
Yeah, dude, I'm giving someone money. If this is a fucking zero sum game, I'm giving it to somebody.
Oh god, if this is a zero sum game, somebody's just sitting on the other side of our trades, just laughing.
Dude, making racks.
What if you could like track your actual shares?
Like where they go? Like
yeah. Like I had share number 2,000 of 5 million.
I'm like, oh shit, one of my boys is holding 20,000 of my shares. I just dumped on their heads. My bad, bro.
Yeah, could you? Oh my god, yeah. No, but so we went over day trading, went over swing trading, and then the last thing that I'll say is that we're going into a holiday week. You know, the market is closed on Thursday.
What are you thankful for, asshole? Not much. I'm
thankful that I still have an account after this week.
I'm thankful for maybe being able to cancel my lease.
Yeah. Thanks, Drew. Yeah. So we're going into a holiday week. Thursday, there's no trading, and Friday's a half day. So I hate to say this, but next week probably is going to be lower volume. From a spy, from a spy perspective, it probably just continues this low volume melt up. Because again, it's usually a low volume week. So what's gonna? I mean, I honestly don't see this melt up stopping on spy. And if it dips, I probably will grab some calls for like early December. But for the small cap world, you know, I'm hoping that we get some runners. But I do know that a lot of people take off next week.
Yeah, Black Friday really is buying opportunities in the stock market as well. It's not a joke.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, you're right. And speaking of Black Friday, is that usually, you know, I want to use this word carefully, but usually the retail stocks run at some point during next week. And when I say next week, I mean Black Friday.
Oh yeah, retail. Yeah, retail. Like last year, we had like the JC Penney's and shit going fucking bonkers. That may have not have been this late in the year. That may have been early. I do remember JC Penney's going nuts.
No, exactly. So I'll have that basket of watch list up, and if they start to get hit, you know, I'll be there. I'll be there to grab them. I mean, anybody, you know, I mean. I can post my watch list if people want, but I'll have the retail watch list up. If any of them start to, you know, get a volume spike, you know, their price starts to increase rapidly, I'll be there. I'll just accumulate the basket and just chill.
Risk. How are you handling your risk on this? I mean, like, right as we're like, hey, man, we're going to kind of chill. Even though it's a completely new trade and it may be a day trade or whatever, how do you do a stop loss on those? Because those can have the rug pulled pretty quick. I mean, if they're just like, I mean, that running up for retail running for Black Friday is very similar to being like, oh, well, Shake Shack will run because it's lunchtime.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's the same thing, like the Wing Index runs most Super Bowls. Like the week before the Super Bowl, the Wing Index runs.
And gambling stocks right before the Super, you know, all that shit.
Yeah. And so the way that I'll handle that is that I totally, it won't be a risk on situation. Like I won't be having like 30% of my account in retails just waiting. No way. It'll be like one of them goes 30%. I'll accumulate the rest. Let's just say that I want 10% of my account in there. So I'll take five different retailers and similar to like themes when themes run 2% across the five different tickers. And then I'll have a strict stop loss because most of the time what ends up happening is that they either go or they don't. That sounds so stupid. That sounds
or
like
or stay the same. I mean,
yeah. The stock will go up or down.
But I'm not a financial advisor. However, I do know this.
But most of the time is that they really go or they dump, because it's kind of similar to like a pre-earnings run-up. Once they already kind of have probably had a little bit of a run-up by the time that I'm accumulating them. Again, because I don't want to just sit there and wait, because if the theme doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But if one of them goes, let's just say one of them goes 30%, almost instantly the other ones will be up 5-6%. So I'm already buying at a premium. So if I'm buying at a premium, I you know, you have to keep it in mind that you're buying at that premium rate. So if it just goes back to even, you're already down 5%. So again, the way that I'll handle is that, let's just say I wanted to take 10% of my account. I'll take five of the tickers that I know best that usually run, and I'll spread 2% across those, and I'll have a strict stop loss. And I won't touch them until one of them goes 25%. And that gives the best risk to reward. By far gives the best risk to reward. And if one of them runs based on some other news, because what ends up happening and when what usually makes them run is that one of them releases a press release like, hey, we're expecting this much in sales for Black Friday compared to last year. This is what our sales were. So let's just say I forget the ticker, but I think they said that they were expecting 6 million in sales, and the year prior they only did 4 million. So that's a pretty good increase in sale or expected sales. So that one ran. So if something like that happens and that comes out, then that's when I would be interested in accumulating the rest of the retailers.
Okay. Well, we've done our time today. And you know what I'm thinking about with Shake Shack running at lunch and retail running on Black Friday? Thanksgiving's coming up. You know what everyone gets before Thanksgiving? A haircut. And let me supercuts. Boom. Please go up. I hope everyone has a good Friendsgiving. We should see you Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, so you can play our podcast at Thanksgiving. Exactly what your grandmother would love as she's preparing your cranberry avocado sauce. Is that a thing?
Did the pilgrims have that? Was that at the first pilgrims? Supper or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. The first supper. Is that like right after the last supper? Dude, you're on the Bible, dude. This is like 1600, man.
It's like a few years later.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. I mean, dude, look, regardless, people got betrayed at both of them.
That's true.
Yeah, I think. Fuck, man. Dude, you know, I haven't watched Pocahontas in a while.
Pocahontas?
Yeah, John Wayne and
wasn't
the Pilgrims.
Wasn't she made up from the Disney movies?
There's no fucking way. Dude, literally okay, I was about to be like, no way. Dude, her man's, like, basically in charge of saving America and shipping off tobacco. Like, he was like, yo, I know we're not allowed to sell tobacco because that's, like, y'all's thing, but I'm gonna do it anyways. And, yeah, shout out that guy because America's popping now. Look at us.
Look at us thriving.
Who would have thought?
Not England.
Not me. A couple weeks ago, I had people coming over randomly to take shots to celebrate stocks going up so much. Now they're coming over to drink our sorrows away. So hopefully it'll all turn
help
around.
Help with resumes.
Yeah, but love you guys. We'll see you Wednesday.
Penny's Going in Raw is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.